You want some more stories, eh? You know, one day we were in Mathura. Mathura is a place of pilgrimage, you know. It's associated with Lord Krishna. So we were there in that place on a mush tour. And as usual, parties went out in search of musts, you see, and some stayed with Baba to be by his side. And at the appointed time or the hour, you see, they were to collect together and then take the must, take Baba to the must. Now, you must know one thing, that whenever Baba went to contact the must, you see, he approached the must. First, the mandali would go and see the must there and see whether the must was in mood, you see, of contact and all that. And then Baba would be ushered in, you see, in the presence of the must. That means not from some other room or anything there. Baba would be behind the mandali, you see, just there. And the mandali would get aside and then Baba would be facing the must. And then immediately we had to leave Baba. We had not to wait for the people who were around or anything. We were told to leave Baba immediately, you see. So that's how the must context starts. Must contact start. So in Mathura when we went, first of all, you see there were must contacts, they were there, one or two musts were contacted. But I'm giving you a different story now. Baidul comes with a story that there is a must sitting near the burning ghat. You know what burning ghat is? Where the corpses are burned, you see, on the banks of a river. So near burning ghat. Ghat is a platform, a built platform of stones and all that, where the people put their, what they call the dead, you see, on a crate, so to say, a sort of a bed, improvised bed prepared there, and then they set fire to the corpse. So that's called, the place is called the burning ghat. So there, near the burning ghat, there is a must sitting on a heap of old, broken pieces of tiles, you see. Tiles, ordinarily these tiles for the roof that we have, the earthenware tiles, so they are all broken and there's a heap of that, so a must is sitting there facing the river. And he appears to be a real good must Baba and we would like him to be contacted by you. So Baba at once, of course, agreed to that and we all went, followed by Dul in the direction where Baidul took us. We go there and what do we find? As usual, Baidul is there and asks, well, how are you? I saw right. And then a few pleasantries are exchanged. If the must is in a mood to just nod his head or smile or anything, we take it as a signal that's a mood for contact. So we just get aside. No sooner we got aside, what do we find? Naturally, Baba is with the must. What do you find? We find clapping from Baba. That's a signal that we have to attend to Baba. Come back. What's the matter? What do we find? The must has clasped his legs. Baba was standing, must was sitting. So just, clasping the legs, you see, of both the legs of Baba with his own arms and took his legs and knees close to his chest. And he was muttering these words and uttering loudly later on that I have waited for you quite a long time. Now that you are by my side, it's not easy for you to escape me. You who have hidden from me for years together, I have found you. Oh my Lord, my Lord. He took him to be Lord Krishna, you see. And then he embraced him. He can't get up. He's so fixed in his position, you see, sitting down, and Baba is standing, and Baba is helpless there. He wouldn't want any must to contact him, or he would contact any must who recognizes him. The moment the must gives expressions of recognition, he used to leave the must and go away. The work was no more there, you see. You follow? He couldn't serve him. His main purpose of being with the must and contacting them was what? To serve him. That is, outward signs were there. to press their bodies, to massage their bodies, to serve. But if the must gives outward expression of complete recognition of his divinity, how can you serve? Suppose if you want to serve me, you see. So I should recognize you that you are my brother. Or you are Jimmy Boy, you see. Yeah, I would take you to be some person, you see, who has come for a job, or somebody who wants to serve somebody, you see, or something like that. But you should serve me incognito. Otherwise, if I recognize you, you won't be able to serve. I won't take your service. That's the thing. So that's how it was. So what do we find Baba in a dilemma there? He didn't know how to get out of the clutches of the man who, of the must who had recognized him. And, very gently, without being in any way disturbed, he says, "And in this advent, you know who you are? In this advent, do I not know who you are?" And then a fresh book from the rubbish, you see, there on which he was sitting, and there was a gunny sack over that whole place where he was sitting. I told you were sitting on a heap of broken tiles and all that. It was all full of rubbish. It was the burning ghat where the corpses are burnt and all that. Brand new copy of the Perfect Master, with Baba's picture there. "Aren't you thus now in this advent?" So Baba told us, it was with great difficulty we had to pacify the must and then take Baba away from him. Then another funny thing happened was, this is one story. Dr. Donkin was driving this blue bus one day, and it was in South India, mind you. Mathura is in the north, now I'm going to south with this story. And we were at a place called Calicut, in the south. Not Calcutta. Calicut, in the south. Seashore, by the side of seashore. So, there we were staying at a place. So, Dr. Donkin was given instructions that whenever he spotted a must or anything like that, he should, before writing the wayfarers, mind you, he should be on the lookout, and if he ever were to spot somebody whom he felt that he was a must or anything like that, he should give a lift and bring him straight to Baba. Now what happened was that Dr. Donkin had gone for Baba's work to a post office there. There he spotted a must, you see. And he did not know, he couldn't communicate with him. He did not know how to get him back. Get him seated there. So he went out searching for me. He came to me, you see, and says, "Hey Raj, would you want to come, you see, and see the must that is there? I have spotted one of them." So, I couldn't go without Baba's permission, you see. I couldn't leave Baba. So I told Baba about it, that Dr. Don has come. He used to call Dr. Donkin as Don. Don has come and wants me to accompany him. Should I go? So Baba gave me permission. "Why, Baba?" I said, "There's a must there." So naturally, Baba said, "Whosoever he be, bring him here." He means whether we find him to be a must or no, the man who has been spotted by Donkin has to be brought to Baba. That means that. So well, I went with Dr. Donkin. And what do I find, you see? He drove me to the place, you see, where he had spotted him. And there, what I find, the man sitting there with a long beard, long robe, shabby dress, and all that. And then his back was turned towards us, you see, far away from the road, regular road. So I crossed a field there and went there. And whom do I see there? One of Baba's people, you see. His name was Baba Das. And he had come on his own to South, you see, giving out message of Baba, you see. And he was so tired and looked so shabby with all that flowing beard and flowing hair and all that. He had the appearance of a must, you see. So I went there and said, "Hello, Baba Das, you are here?" He says, "Yes, how is it that you are here? Baba is here?" I said, "Yes, Baba is here. And Baba has asked you to come." He says, "Did he call me?" I said, "Yes, come on." He has said that, and we told Baba Das What was the joke? You see, that Dr. Donkin thought that you are a must there, and well, he brought me, and while I asked for Baba's permission, Baba said, whosoever he be, bring him. So we are carrying you there now in the bus. So we brought him to Baba, and Baba had a hearty laugh, you see. So such a thing had also happened in a must hunt, you see. This couldn't be mentioned, I think, in the papers. I don't know. I haven't read it, but I don't think so it is mentioned.
As Eric was talking about masks, Baba once told us this story, and he told us of this mask in Bombay, who was a Mazoob, which means on the seventh plane.
Not necessarily, but yeah. God-absorbed.
God-absorbed.
On different planes. Mm.
So the Mazoob was utterly unconscious of his body, but those who were around him were concerned for the care of his body, to keep it well and to keep it alive. So all the time, the Mazoob, the mast, would appear to them to be as if he were asleep, not conscious and not awake. But they had to feed him, they had to take care of his body, see he had nourishment, but they couldn't wake him, they couldn't get him to gross consciousness even long enough to eat something, to drink something, to have some nourishment for his body. So they hired a fakir who used to sing very beautifully on the streets early in the morning. They would hear him sing. So they got this fakir to come and sing before the mazoob at certain times of the day. And the fakir had a beautiful voice, and he would sing with great feeling, and he would sing these lines again and again and again, standing before the mast, who was lying down, apparently asleep. And after a while, the sound of the singing with great feeling, the vibrations, as the fakir sang, It brought the Mazoob down to gross consciousness for that time. And he would sit up. And they would quickly feed him food that was kept ready for him to have. They would quickly feed him, give him nourishment. And then, as soon as the fakir stopped the singing, when everything was done, the Mazoob would go back in his unconscious state, apparently sleep state, you see. And this, Baba told us, this they would do every time. And Baba told us the story and explained when he was telling us to repeat the names of God that he had given us, and we were to sing the one that says Tunirakar Parvardigar Ahura Mazda Allahu, that there's more verses to that, and then the other one, Hari Parmatma Allah Ahura Mazd God Yasdahu, repeated that line in song, but one must sing with feeling, with heart. And then talking about sound, and Baba told us how when somebody brought up the subject and said that they'd heard how in India, in ancient times, there were these singers who sang certain rags, song a certain rag that would light lamps, unlit lamps that were in the room would be lighted, flame would come in. Or there were certain rags which when sung would help bring down rain. And Baba said that was right. It was the vibration, the sound, the way it was sung, and that it was true. And then he told us how in the old days, when there was a Qawwali singing before him, and there was a gathering, so these ghazals were being sung by these musicians who were called for that singing. You see, there were Qawwals, so this Qawwali program was going on. And during the singing, one lad from among those listening to the music got up and in ecstasy of the sound, the vibrations, he began to jump. Standing, he began to jump. First he was swaying from side to side, and then he got up and started jumping. So some from among the men Mandalay, one of them, got up to try to hold him down, to calm him, to make him sit down. And as he went towards the boy, Baba clapped and very sternly said, "Don't touch him. Sit down, let him be." And the musicians went on playing and singing, and the boy jumped higher and higher and higher till he was actually leaping up and down. And then after a while, as the song was ending and the musicians were slowing down in their music, the boy jumped less and less and calmed down and sat down. And everything went on as normally. And afterwards, Baba told the mandali, the main mandali, and that person that had that mandali touched that boy at that time, the boy would have died on the spot.